So growing up as a dependent, you know, with that, I was understanding, you know, how real estate was just such a great investment tool, you know, for you to be able to use. And it shouldn't be your only tool, but it should be your main tool for sure.
Hey, Freedom Fighters, welcome to the Active Duty Passive Income Podcast, the only place where military members, veterans, and their families learn how to build wealth through real estate investing. I'm your host, Mike Foster, and I'm here to show you how to stop wasting your benefits. Now get off your ass, step up to the firing line, and make ready for today's lesson. Shooter, stand by.
Have you ever wondered why some people always seem to be more successful than others in life? Maybe they are more productive, happier, or even wealthier, or all of the above.
The truth is that most successful people take time to plot their course in life by setting specific, actionable, and attainable goals. But more importantly, they have an accountability system in place.
That's why Tim Kelly and I are so proud to announce the release of ADPI's 13-Week Action Journal.
We spent countless hours and poured our blood, sweat, and tears into this journal to ensure that you not only have a daily reminder of your 1,000-meter target, but you will be equipped with a system that will propel you towards your goals faster than you ever thought possible.
Click the link in this episode's show notes to take advantage of a special one-time offer just for our faithful podcast listeners today.
Look, bottom line, if you aren't willing to write down, track, and implement an accountability system for your goals, you don't deserve to achieve them. Click that link, get started today, and take advantage of this limited time offer now.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome to the Active Duty Passive Income Podcast. We have an incredible guest here today. He's not a military member, but he is a part of the military community by proxy. Nick Love, what's going on, brother? How are you doing?
What's going on, Mike? I'm doing good, man. You know, pretty decent over here in Texas. So thank you for having me.
Brother, it is great to have you on the show. We're super excited for the story that you're going to share, the experience that you and Kevin, you know, have, you know, built and are bringing to this team. Super excited, man. But before we get into it, Kevin, tell us a little bit what's going on in the community, man.
Lots of stuff going on in the community, Mike. As always, we're growing. We're becoming more focused on really helping that member who is PCSing around the country and getting those single family homes. And I really want to focus on that. And to that end, we're becoming very webinar focused, because what we've been collecting, like, you know, you'll see those posts in the Facebook group, and you know, it's just all these questions, and we see all these questions over and over and over again. And we, you know, we're having these team meetings. We're trying to figure out how can we at the ADPI team pump the most value to members in our community. And we're really thinking webinars are the way to go. So while we're redoing, we're completely revamping EMRIA right now, which is going to be awesome. It's going to be like freaking super HD, and like the quality is going to be amazing. And like every member on the team is contributing, which is going to be cool. We're doing that. But in the meantime, we've launched some webinars, including like Victoria's Mill Spouse webinar, where she teaches. There's another one coming up soon on wholesaling, where she's bringing on like literally teaching, like, if you're a military spouse, how you can take advantage of certain careers in the real estate space while your spouse is doing their military job. And you can kind of, and that happens all the time. So take advantage of those, guys, because all you got to do is register completely free. Just go to the Facebook, there's Facebook posts, there's announcements on the Facebook page on the top of the main community. Go there, sign up for it completely free, learn something. They're really great. And you're going to start seeing a lot more of those webinars. So if you want to, if you want to get in on them, like, let us know, like, hey, I'd really like to learn about this. Just make a post in the Facebook group and be like, hey, can you guys do a webinar on whatever? And we'll be like, sure, make it happen.
Love it. love it. All right. Well, great stuff, man. And as always, guys, if this is your first time listening to this, please go ahead and subscribe. Make sure you share this and give us a review. We'd be happy for it. But let's get into this podcast. We got Nick Love on the show. Nick, tell us a little bit about your background, man, and how you got started in investing.
Hey, man, thank you very much. Really, how I got started was whenever I was in school and college, and I was taking some real estate classes because some of my family did some. investment inside of real estate. It was kind of in the back of my mind that, you know, real estate's just always one of those really good investments. And you hear things all the time about how real estate's, you know, a major part of wealth and this and that. And, you know, inside of school, they're really trying to teach people that you should be house hacking and you should buy a house and, you know, get all of these single family rentals because that's really where you're going to start building wealth. But people really never got into, you know, anything above that, you know, whether that's inside commercial real estate buildings or multifamily or warehouses and different things like that. And so that kind of piqued my curiosity where I was like, well, what other kinds of, you know, real estate investing, you know, models can I do? You know, I didn't want to just go with, you know, go with what everybody else is doing. That's, you know, never really the way to go. And right. So since I was very fortunate enough to be inside Dallas where there's all these different RIAs and events going on, you know, pre-COVID with everything, of course. And so I was going out to a lot of different meetups. I'm really good with people. So I was just networking, you know, I had these basic business cards, you know, just trying to get people's information, trying to absorb as much as I could really inside of all these meetings. And how I got started was that I ended up stumbling across this multifamily meetup, which, you know, I didn't really think it was an actual, you know, like apartment buildings. I thought it was just like small multifamily, you know, fourplexes and triplexes and stuff. But it ended up being, you know, more of a meetup where people were syndicating apartments, you know, just raising money from other people and buying apartments. And I was like, oh my goodness. I was like, this is definitely, you know, something that I should be looking more into. And so that's kind of what piqued my interest in there. And then, you know, I'm a big reader, you know, and a big connector. So I was just kind of using both of those, you know, just to read constantly and then talk with people about it and then read again and then, you know, get information from other people and just build and build and build on top of that. And then being able to leverage, you know, my background, you know, digitally with a digital marketing background as well. And in just trying to work with people inside that industry because I really started enjoying it and then, you know, wanted to go out and start syndicating my own deals. And then, you know, that's pretty much where we are now.
Yeah. Outstanding, man. Love that.
Yeah. Can we rewind it back? Cause you have an interesting perspective. So we're talking about a pre-show, but like, you know, a lot of people we have on the show, they're either active duty themselves, they're a veteran themselves. But your father was retired or is he still in the Air Force?
He's still in. Yeah.
He's still in. Yeah, okay. He's still active duty. So you've been a dependent for, you know, most of probably all of your life. What has that been right. like? And has any of that shaped how you've looked at real estate from like hopping around from state to state, place to place?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at, I see that question in like two different instances because is, you know, with the military background and my dad and my mom's a CPA as well. And mm-hmm. so like a lot, whenever I was growing up is a lot, I don't want to say about conservatism, but really about, you know, conservative money, conservative investments, et cetera, mm-hmm. which kind of blended over into where my dad was very interested inside of investing in land and mm-hmm. flipping land really because, you know, he always said how much about how, you know, you can buy land in a great area and you just hold it for a while, you know, very conservative investment. And, you know, that was like the way that they like to invest on that side. But, you know, so growing up as a dependent, you know, with that, I was understanding, you know, how real estate was just such a great investment tool, you know, for you to be able to use. And it shouldn't be your only tool, but it should be your main tool for sure. Right. And so that's kind of how I grew up with that. And then also like in a different instance as well, on the discipline side, you know, since my family was inside the military, my mom was a CPA too, there was a lot of discipline inside of finances, which of course, you know, led me to, you know, save a good amount of money and understand, you know, how to really budget for things, how to put investment, you know, just learning ratios, I should be saving this and that, you know, 16, 17 years old, you know, have a terrible job, but I'm still saving for these things mm-hmm. and stuff. And so I learned a lot of those ideals at a very young age. And then since my dad was in the military, you know, I was able to get school discounted, which was still, you know, just such a high facet inside of our family that, you know, you should, you know, you go to high school, you go to college, you know, and then you'll get a job. Like that was mm-hmm. it. And since my college was paid for practically, you know, pretty close that it was almost a no-brainer whenever I was younger that, you know, if this was going to be paid for, then, you know, I should definitely at least, you know, try go into it, do different. So I ended up going to school because of that military background, really, you know, where some people may not be as fortunate where they'll have to, you know, take out a lot of loans or mm-hmm. do different things like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like that that basis in financial education that you have, though. I mean, you're blessed because, you know, your mom being a CPA and you know, your father right. being very, you know, financially astute, and it sounds like they're both into investing, but a lot of people don't get that, or they don't, you know, they're just not surrounded with that at all. And what happens a lot of the times is they just get you get yourself in trouble, financial trouble, with this credit card debt, student loan debt, and you're stuck, and you're looking at a situation, you're like, dang, my credit score stinks. And then it's like, oh, well, I want to invest in real estate. I want to get a single family home and house hack. Oh, but my credit score stinks. And like, you know, like, okay, well, these numbers aren't going to work now. So, but having that basis in education, like for me, it was reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad that like brought it all to the forefront of my mind. Like I was pretty like fiscally conservative and stuff. And like, I wasn't like blowing money or anything like that. Like I still had some savings. Like I had like the basics down, but then seeing like, ooh, like I can actually like real estate is a thing, you know, that being shoved in my face. like that was the defining moment for me. But like, what do you think your defining moment was? Was it going to these meetups where you actually saw like what was that defining moment? You're like, wow, real estate had like, this idea has some legs.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you talk about real estate in general, really the aha moment in a sense was whenever my dad was able to purchase like a property from the tax assessor, you know, at the courthouse steps and stuff for, you know, he did a couple of deals where he would flip land, you know, buy them, you know, from those tax sales. And then, you know, and so there was one time whenever I was like 11 or 12, where we went to one of these sales and my dad was able to purchase 2 or 3 acres of land for like 15 grand inside of Grand Prairie, which was like in a very nice neighborhood on the lake. Mm-hmm. And he bought it for 15 or 16 grand and ended up, you know, flipping it for like 40 grand, you know, within a couple of months on there, because of where the area was in and, you know, looking at that. And I was inside that whole transaction because I helped like clean up the land. I was at the sale and everything. And so that was definitely a large eye opener inside of my mind. I was like, wow, you know, whenever you think about it, you know, if I'm turning 16 or 17 and I, you know, I get a minimum wage job, you know, I won't even earn that within the year. And that's just something that you go for with real estate, which you can move on to the next one. Right.
Exactly.
Or do other things. And then my mom would teach me about, you know, taxes, you know, in the sense. So I kind of had both sides of the story, and which I was beneficial to have. But whenever I started going to these meetups and understanding the syndication model was really where my eyes, you know, widened even further to the idea of, you know, single family real estate isn't the only type of real estate you can or should do. So, you know, even diversification on that side too. And so there's a couple of different times where I had my eyes like completely opened and understood.
I love that. No, that's good stuff, man. And it really seems like the, you know, the grounding that you had financially, you know, bled into some other things. You know, you mentioned, you know, about some of the ancillary services that you were providing for real estate, you know, investors there, which is really cool, you know, which I'm sure we're going to get into in a little bit later on. But you know, I would love to talk about just real quick, how did you two meet, right? How did you and Kevin meet?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You know, funny enough, I'm pretty sure it was literally from this. Oh no, that's what it was. So like, I'm a big networker on that side. And so whenever I was really building up my LinkedIn earlier this year, and I ended up just like reaching out to syndicators and talking with people. And I ended up having a conversation with Tim Kelly and, you know, just talking with him, great guy, very, very smart on there. And we're just talking, networking and trying to see like, you know, then you end up getting to that conversation like, hey, you know, how can we help each other out on this? And he was like, you know, do you want to be on the ADPI podcast? And I was like, oh. I was like, fuck yeah. You know, on that, I'd love to do that. And so he ended up like, he introduced me to get on the podcast. And then we were going to do a screening interview. And then, but before that screening interview, like Kevin reached out to me to like pitch me an idea on, you know, us working together on different deals and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I met Kevin, and then just kind of, you know, flourished from there, you know, it was a little bit excited. Yeah.
But it's all love about it networking.
I love that. I love that.
It's all about
that.
Networking.
But you see, that's awesome, man. I would love to touch on this real quick because this is something that I think a lot of people don't get, right? They think that, you know, finding partners and creating, you know, deals and partnerships and getting these opportunities is just a stroke of luck. And it's not just luck. Yeah, yes, it is a little bit of luck, but you have to take action in order to be put in the opportunity or put in the place to receive these opportunities. And sometimes they just compound on each other, right? I mean, you never know who you're going to meet or who you met. or meet someone that may influence your circle. And it's just, that's what happens with business. And I love it. You know, I love being in this world. I've noticed that. And so what I want to encourage people is that if you feel like you're listening to this and you are never meet that person that's going to help game change your business or game change your life, well, then start thinking about how you can network with more people. Put yourself out there, put yourself in the position of opportunity, and opportunity will come and find you.
Yep.
Yeah. You'll never lose by adding value. I mean, there's no reason that somebody won't talk to you if you add value to them in some way.
And if you don't
know, to make like a win-win.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No. I was gonna say, what a lot of people come in and say like, well, I don't know what value I would add. Like what's your response to that, Nick? I'm curious your responses.
I have a couple actually, because people really do ask me that all the time. And, you know, adding value, you know, can be a couple different ways, just like how you would in real estate. You know, it could be exterior, it could be interior, or, you know, it could be, you know, completely something that's not physical, you know, on the side, it's how you market it. So I think that the way that you add value depends on the person you want to talk to, or, you know, what you're trying, you know, how you're trying to help them, or what you need out of it. You know, you kind of look at that, you know, because I'm going to add value to somebody like Bill Gates differently than I would somebody I just want to connect with and partner with. Mm-hmm. And so, to the extent that you add values, to the extent of the person that you're talking with, I think. And so, you know, it could be as minor as whenever I'm reaching out to people, and it's through LinkedIn a lot. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be people on LinkedIn like, hey, you know, it's good to network with you. You know, my name's Nick, I'm 23, I invest in real estate. And, you know, I'm also a really big marketer. And, you know, I'd love to create this LinkedIn cover for you since I see you don't have one. Bam. I mean, that's different than a win-win scenario, because in that sense, you know, they still have to put in work, because now it's like a no lose for them. So they have to talk to me, because they don't lose in any sense. And so that's kind of the kind of thing that I embody, you know, is something like that. And then you'll never, you know, not have somebody to talk to if you really put in work to try to reach out and find a list of people that you want to talk to on three different levels. I think you should be talking with people that are on your level, a little bit above you, and then really above you. And then you'll have that mix of people that you can network with and either partner with, or, you know, look for guidance. So that's kind of what I embody.
Hey guys, Kevin here. And I wanted to take a quick break from the show to fill you in on what's happening behind the scenes at Active Duty Passive Income. Most of you already know that ADPI is not just a podcast. We're a community of real estate and passive income warriors taking action, building wealth, and giving back together. That's why I'm so proud to announce the creation of ADPI's Financial Services Division. With a full range of tailored lending options, our team of pros is ready to provide active duty service members, veterans, and military families just like you all the advice and resources you need to close on your first or next investment opportunity. Click the link in this episode's show notes, or simply text DEAL to 33777 to get connected today. Now, let's get back to the show. That's so true. Yeah, I love that. I love that that explanation. And you know, Nick and I, you know, found each other on LinkedIn. And I was in the process of building this team of millennials that are just crushing it in real estate. And you know, you had talked to Tim, and then I had heard your name from other people. I was like, man, let me look this guy up. Let me type this name in here. And I look, and you got that photo, man. You like that photo on LinkedIn? You look like Matthew McConaughey. I was like, what is this? Matthew McConaughey? Yeah. I was like,
you do look a little like Matthew McConaughey.
I get that way more often than you think.
I was like, well, that's a great thing to get, dude. Yeah. No, but I was like, all right.
Actually, you've got it on your Zoom, right?
I know.
Go ahead, shut off your camera so our folks can see it.
All right. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
Boom. That's McConaughey.
Look at that.
All right.
You see that? That does not look like who's on the film right now.
I don't know. I don't know, like on live. Awesome, I don't know on live though. It might, like when he turns the camera off. It just disappears. I just watched it on live. Oh man, they don't. Like when he turns his camera off on live, it disappears. That's okay. We're getting off.
Oh, dang, that sucks. Okay, anyway, all good.
But we'll put it. We'll get the photo. We'll put it in the show notes or something.
Yeah, we'll throw a picture in there somewhere.
Okay.
So I'm trying to build the scene, trying to build out this private equity firm, change, you know, the way millennials look at wealth, and you know, I want to build this millennial team, and it's like Nick was saying, it's all about networking, and you know, I'll just talk with them and got the vision out there, and you know, it's like, okay, let's do it, you know? And, you know, what Nick brings to the table was something I really needed, and that's marketing. And like, I, it's just not something that I'm good at. I could talk to people all day, but like, as far as like actually like marketing and like building websites and like doing all this stuff, like I'm not good at that. So the point is, don't try to, like, what I tried to do was I tried to build my own WordPress website. I spent like 6 months doing it, and it turned out to be like a dumpster fire of a website. And then I was like, why don't I just like bring someone on who like knows how to do this stuff? Like you can't, if you're bad at something and you know you don't like doing something, don't force it. Focus on your strengths, not your weaknesses, and bring another person into the fold who that is their strength. And that is one of Nick's great strengths. So Nick, segueing into marketing and what you're doing with marketing within the real estate industry, can you tell our audience like just what digital syndications is all about and kind of like how you found this niche, because it's just out there and no one is taking advantage of it. And I applaud you because you are really crushing it in that department.
Yeah. And that's really what it came down to. You know, it was like the trifecta of it's needed inside the market, you know, and, you know, people are willing to pay for it and nobody's doing it. So I'd say like nobody's doing it, like, no, but there's marketing agencies out there that you can teach them. But I mean, whenever you talk about real estate investing and even like apartment syndications, and then even like private equity funds, and you're talking about institutions, how specific is that inside of business? I mean, that's like hyper specific, even more so. And so you have to be able to not only understand that model, but understand how to target, you know, what that company is looking for, whether that's prospect investors, whether that's partners. You know, if you're a coach, you're looking for other operators. So people's target audiences will vary on that side, depending on who, you know, who they're trying to post, you know, about or target to. And so with that, whenever I started out, you know, going to those meetups and talking with people, you know, whenever I stumbled with Think Multifamily and I, you know, I saw a very, a weak point inside of social media and their marketing team, where, you know, a lot of these older operators and syndicators and stuff, you know, no offense to anybody on those lines, but they don't understand a lot of the social media and digital presence side as much as, you know, our generation does and below and everything. And so being able to leverage that is what I did to understand multifamily investments in the first place. I just worked for free, you know, started leveraging my digital background, helped them out. And then finally understood, I was like, wait a second, you know, people are willing to pay for this, you know, type of service, and I can network inside of the community and become the known guy inside of this specific place. You know, like, you know, Chris Doe will say a lot, you know, which is a larger marketer. He say that if you can own a choke point inside an industry, then you'll always be known inside of it, because you know, somebody will own a very, very specific, you know, somebody that's, you know, really, really good at LinkedIn marketing, or somebody that's really, really good at apartment syndications inside of Miami, Florida. You know, it's like somebody being known inside of a specific subset, which is how you kind of work backwards to find your audience. And I understood that there's a large need for it, and I was good at it and I liked it. So, I mean, that was, you know, something that I wanted to pursue going forward. And then you just start getting better and better at it. And then I don't really care if there's competition, right? Because I'm either going to acquire them, or they're just never going to be as good as me, because I'm already years and years ahead where I'm going.
I love that fire. I'm either going to acquire them. Like, can you like apply that? Like, if you think about it, like, I don't know, just someone like working a 9-to-5, like no one ever even thinks, like, has that like line of thought. It'd be like, instead of like climbing the corporate ladder, it's like, I will acquire this person's job. Like, but that's what you're doing. Like, as an entrepreneur, you're like, yeah, I'm literally going to build something big, and that thing is going to eat all the other businesses around it. And I'm going to take the best things out, and I'm going to poop out the other stuff that sucks. And then you're going to have a mega business. Like, that's how, like, capitalism works.
That's what Amazon is. That's
exactly what they do. Yeah. Google, they all do the same thing. Yeah. They just acquire all of these things and they squeeze the best out of it.
Yeah. But, so why can't you do that, you know, whenever you're a small business?
You can.
You know, I think that's really where the growth is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 100%, man.
Yeah. I think, like,
go ahead, Kev.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I'm just thinking about like marketing and how important marketing is. I just like to touch on that, because marketing is such a big, like, marketing, it's like huge. What is, it's massive. But just for a veteran or someone active duty right now, you know, they might be interested in real estate, whatever, they might be active in real estate. How important, like, is marketing, and how does someone like even build that skill?
Good question.
Yeah. It's definitely a hard skill to acquire. And The thing I would say too is that, like you said, marketing is such a huge facet of different categories and subcategories and subcategories that, you know, you have to start broad sometimes and just work your way down as you go, because you're never going to learn one subject or one thing overnight. And so you have to know what's important to you right now, especially if you're starting out trying to do something with marketing, and understand what you need right now. You know, whether that's your website, whether that's your marketing collateral, that's your emails, that's your CRM, you know, you just start building, you know, one at a time, just like how you would build a house on there, because, you know, you can't build the entire house in one day unless you have, you know, 50,000 people. Very so
true. Very true. Very true.
But it's your ghost lights are going on.
Oh man.
It's like Halloween.
He was serious.
Early.
He was serious.
Dude, I'm telling you. But I can keep talking. I just have to turn it off and wait a second. But
oh,
it's just
man.
Stupid.
Okay. That's wild. But, hey, but no worries, dude.
Yeah.
So I totally love, you know, again, the whole marketing bit, because, you know, this is a theme that's been recurring, and in this changing world, it's just so apparent that, you know, job security is not secure, right? It's never been, And we lull ourselves into this sense of security because we get this paycheck on the 1st and 15th, we have a government job, and our jobs are more secure than most. But when you're taking off that uniform, you know, what are you going to do? You know, if another pandemic comes and now employment's jacked up to 14%, you know, across the country, and you don't have an income now, you've been furloughed, and now you got to figure it out. Well, you know, you can take a page out of Nick's book here and learn a high income skill. I mean, Nick, how much money can you make as a top marketer for any company? Just throw a number out there.
If you're talking top marketer, I mean, you're talking 100 grand at least.
Oh,
you know, on there.
100 grand? Bro, don't be modest, dude. We're talking like half a million, almost millions of dollars, like these marketers are getting paid for some of these top companies, too. Oh my God. Like, let's just throw it out there. Whoever the marketing person is for Amazon is making millions.
The chief marketing officer of Amazon.
And an annual salary.
Tens
of millions of dollars, right? Yeah, screw that guy.
Screw that guy.
But we don't even have to go that high, right? I mean, we can go in something lower, maybe more niche and real estate specific, right? Like, let's just think of one of the big brokerages out there, RE/MAX. Right, the top marketer in RE/MAX is also making millions of dollars. You know.
Yeah.
The brand out there.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's more so, I mean, you could kind of compare that to like even ADPI, you know, on there, because whenever you talk about marketing specifically, it's not just about creating a brand now. It's about creating that community, which, you know, of course, ADPI has done very well on there. And because if you start making a exclusive community around there, that's really where a lot of the buzz or the interest and the growth comes, because people want to be a part of something. You know, that's why you create that community. That's why you create a Facebook group. That's why you create a podcast, because people feel included inside of this growth.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's really where a lot of importance is as well, you know, so.
And like, just want to put that out there. If people are wondering like, oh, well, how can I build a community around something, or you know, whether it's, you know, we're ADPI, you know, we have like our niche, we have our mission. You have to figure out first, like what you want to tell people, what your story is. And then yes, building a community around that is important, but just adding value to that community. Like it's all about value. People want to be a part of something and they want to learn, you know? So it's not just like, oh, I started a Facebook group and no one's joining. I don't know why. Well, duh. You got to like, people need to be enticed.
You're not giving people a reason.
Exactly. So yeah, dude, I mean, building high income skill, like marketing, I think for me, I've gotten so much better by just being a part of the Active Duty Passive Income team and watching other people like who are really good, like Eric and Tim and Mike and like all the folks that are like really good with social media and stuff. Cause I was just like, ugh, I was like, God, I have to like make this Facebook post. I hate doing that, you know, but like it's, you know, I'm getting better at it. I'm getting, you know, all that stuff, but building that skill is just something that a veteran or someone on active duty, just like we say, like you should analyze three deals a day. when you're beginning, you should also be looking into like, how can I get better on Instagram? How can I get better on social? Like, yeah. Social media is such a game changer in business because it's freaking free. It's free to use, and the reach is unbelievable. Literally, almost everyone on the planet is on it. Like, it's crazy. So, yeah,
you can leverage it, right? You can totally do it. Nick, could you offer? Could you offer us maybe three, you know, or four, however many, right, strategies that, you know, a real estate investor, a military real estate investor, listening to this right now, you know, they can get ahead and kind of promote what they're doing or what they're already doing.
Yeah. So definitely, you know, putting in that military term, you know, kind of makes my brain think about a couple different things, you know, one being time management on that side. I'm sure, you know, I don't know y'all's schedules or how a military schedule would be, but I feel like it's definitely regimented and you only have a limited amount of time afterwards or in between, whatever it is. And so a lot of what I tell people too, they're like, oh, I don't have time to do this, or I don't know how to do this. But if you actually sit down, and I really got a lot of this, you know, from Kevin too, where he was like, hey, you know, sit down and have like this 15 to 30 minute window, I'm going to do X, or, you know, and do something. Because once you schedule it down there, that's different than being like, hey, I'm going to post twice today. You know, well, I don't know when I'm going to do that. I don't know how I'm going to do it. But if I put it down there for 30 minutes, I'm going to focus on this one thing today. And, you know, whatever that the most important thing is, I think that's a very big thing that people don't utilize on there. And then what I would say too, like to that point as well, is that you need to figure out what's important for you now, you know, not necessarily within a year from now, especially whenever you're starting out with certain things with your digital presence and stuff. Because let's say you're thinking about, oh, I want to post, you know, five times this week or something. But if you don't have a strong foundation inside of your digital presence, then there's no point for you to traffic people because they're not going to go anywhere.
Right.
And so what's the end goal? Say too,
Yeah.
And because I see so many different operators or investors and stuff that are trying to just blow up their social media and throw money in paid advertising, but their website is awful and there's no conversion from their website. So there's literally no point for them to be on social media because the whole end game is to convert people to do something. Mm-hmm. So social media is just, you know, it's just like a road for you to get into, you know, your website. And so if you can't convert people on your website, then why would you post anyway? You know, you'll get brand awareness, but you're never going to add up in your business or something.
Right.
So you need to understand what's important to you right now and kind of work backwards. That's why I think like the website is one of the most important tools, because for one, whenever you network with people, hey, do you have a website? Yeah, I sure do. You know, here it is. And they'll go to your website, and then you need to have, you know, I would say at least two or three different call to actions on your website, you know, because sometimes people either have different two or three different audiences, or you want to give them multiple different ways for you to capture their information, because that's obviously what's important too. So I would definitely say that even if it's just some, you know, $200 or $300 website, anything's better than nothing usually, until you start growing and you want to optimize and make it better, et cetera.
Right.
And what will go a really, really long way, and I can't stress this enough too, especially with social media, is professionalism. I would, if I was starting out, I would never like make my own covers or make my own logos, you know, whatever it is, because you can get that stuff so cheap on, you know,
so
on different websites like Upwork. I mean, it's ridiculous how cheap it is for how much
it's
more
like
professional
bucks.
You'll get it. Right. If you do it yourself.
Yeah.
So that's one of the mistakes I see a lot of people do, because you can pay like $100 and get great graphics and things for you to put on your social media presence. Yeah,
I brought the logo to our business to Nick, and he's like, this sucks. And I was like, I spent like 8 hours on that. And then you're like, well, it doesn't suck that much, but you can like do this. And in like 2 weeks, it was like way better. Like, we completely rebranded everything. And I was like, we should just pay someone.
Because, and to that point too, subconsciously people have a fight between, you know, between this marketing aspect, and the way that it goes is that you either pay in time or you pay in money for things. Mm-hmm. And so how I look at it too, is if I don't want to pay my time in it, then I'm just going to pay for it, because it's not worth me spending 8 hours to build a logo when I can spend $10 for somebody to do it. You know, that trade-off is just, you know, it's just not even comparable anymore.
And
so that's what I have to leverage on there. It's like, oh, that's it.
Yeah. No. Sorry for interrupting, but that's like the second time I've done that. No, but I love that so much because it's adding value. No. You have to know what I was going to say. You have to know your own value. Like how much is 1 hour of your time right now? And if you can figure out, it's like, you know, and it's easy. If you're working in the military, you can actually calculate it out. And you can say like, okay, based on my rank and based on everything, like I'm, you know, an hour of my time is worth, I don't know, $50. Who knows, you know? And then you have to say like, sure. Okay, I can go get a logo created for $25 by paying someone, or I can spend 8 hours of my time, 8 times 50, math in public, $200.
400.
Or whatever. Yeah, math in public. 400. But you can go and say like, why am I going to do that? But if you never assign that value, you're always going to assume that your time is cheaper. You're going to like devalue your own time. And yeah, you blew my mind a little bit there, dude. So my bad.
No, that's so good. I love talking about that. Yeah.
Oh man. Bro, this has been phenomenal, man. We've definitely brought a lot of value to the show, but we're getting near the end. So to save this from getting close to an hour here, let's take you to our bonus round. We got four questions. So adding something new. Four questions for you. First question, what is your favorite book?
Oh, that's a good one.
This will be good for a marketer.
Yeah, because I read a lot of different stuff. But I would say one that's, you know, kind of not known as much, especially like on real estate investing too, because, whenever you think about marketing too, you always think about, you know, raising capital as well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so one really, really good book is by, Richard Wilson, who's really, really big inside of the single family office space and talking about raising capital inside of single family offices and stuff, which is very translatable into commercial real estate. And he has two books out, you know, one that's about capital raising specifically, which is a lot about creating systems and how to talk with people and network. But he also has this other book, which is, you know, for free that you can get on his website that I highly recommend. It's called The Speed of Implementation, which I've taken to account a lot, which is a lot about efficiency and, you know, speeding up and, you know, a lot where I got like the time and money aspect, because, you know, obviously that'll give me much more time to do other things and kind of translates back into the Pareto principle, of course. And, you know, trying to implement a lot of different, you know, tactics and ideas so that you can really, you know, like Elon Musk says too, you know, you need to think about your goals, you know, 10 years out and do them in 6 months. Mm-hmm. And so the way that you do that is kind of, you know, changing your thinking and changing your ideology behind, you know, what you should be working on right now, what you should be working on later, you know, et cetera. So definitely check that out. Speed of Implementation.
Dude, yeah. I am downloading that right now.
Yeah, it's free.
Literally downloading it right now.
Infinite return.
That sounds like an awesome book, and we're going to have a link to that in the show notes. So if you need a copy of that, just go down to our show notes, click the link. It's going to take you right there. Question number two, Nick, who is your biggest hero and why?
I would probably put it as Elon Musk. You know, I just think that the drive that guy has and his story throughout everything and throughout history and what he's created, and he has great biographies on his companies himself, that a lot of things that I take inside of me personally and like in my heart, like how I feel about things, I really get from all of these other larger business owners, you know, whether that's, you know, Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk or Tim Cook, you know, people with these larger titans. And Elon Musk, always, time and time again, he's always about working, you know, 14 to 16 hour days, you know, double what people do inside of a normal business. And you'll just be 2-4 times, you know, as quick for you to be able to finish something. But even further than that, Elon Musk will go all in to anything that he puts into. And so whenever he created PayPal, which is crazy, you know, it used to be called X.com, he sold his large share, you know, at a buyout and made, you know, $300 million. I don't know if you've heard this story. And, you know, he made 300 some odd million or something around along those lines. And he put every single penny into Tesla and SpaceX and SolarCity. He put every single penny that he earned, $300 million. You know, somebody could just settle down, you know, 30 years old. And he had to take a loan out for his rent. Like that's literally how all in he was.
Wow.
Which you can't even fathom, like how crazy that is. And look at what he's built now. So, I mean, in the span of 10 years, he went from being like his net worth being $22 million all the way up to $22 billion like last year. and now he's the fourth richest person in the world, I think, or something. So like going all in, you know, it's, you know, it's a big risk, but it's a big return too. So I take that.
That's
to heart.
Incredible, man. That's awesome. That is an incredible story. I think I have heard it before, but it's great to hear it again. And yeah, especially the way you say you said it, man, it's mm-hmm. paints the picture. Okay.
Yeah.
Question number three, what do you like to do for fun?
I'm a big boxer. So I have a boxing right. coach. I work out a lot on there. And I think that not even one, but talking about clearing the mind too, if you're, you know, stressed out with all this and this and this, but you can't worry about all those other tasks if you're going to be hit in the face, you know, mm-hmm. on that side. So I think that having something, you know, whether that's going to the gym or meditating or, you know, whatever activity it is, having something that can completely, you know, clear your mind and focus on something else, you know, I think that's really important side of daily life. Yeah. And so that, you know, for me, that's just working out, you know, for some people that may be going for a walk or with their dog or whatever it may be. So, I definitely use boxing as my vice just because, you know, anger for one, you know, you can put everything out there and just to clear your mind on that side. So
very cool. Yeah. Love it. Very cool.
That's good stuff, man.
All right. Final question for you, Nick. So, you dropped a ton of like nuggets of wisdom, but we're going to ask for three short nuggets of wisdom now. But like if you're, ooh, you know, someone who, is getting into real estate investing, whether they're active duty or veteran, or they want to become a new military real estate investor, from your perspective, maybe from the dependent side of things or from the, like wearing your marketing hat, like what are some like three nuggets mm-hmm. that for someone just getting started?
Okay. I would say definitely, first one should be focus. You need to focus on what you need to do right. Oh my goodness. There's a ghost in my house now.
Oh, but man.
The last, what I would say is that really inside of this is that your first thing should always be focus. You need to focus where you want to be long-term and what you need to be doing right now. And I think those are the two most important things, you know, whether that's your 1 year and your 1 day goal. Because some people will think that they need to, you know, do something that's, you know, 5 years ahead and do it right now, but that's not what's important. You know, you need to focus on what's important right now. And then I would say the second thing would be that you need to understand the difference between consistency and intensity. And
oh no.
Uh-oh, did we lose your audio too? What's going on, brother? Oh man, that
we're leaving us on a cliffhanger. You had me. You're leaving us on a cliffhanger.
Seriously.
But, okay. In the event that we did lose Nick, we are live right now.
Yeah.
I mean, Nick, if you're going to hear this later, but thank you so much for your time for coming on. And, you know, we didn't even get into this part. We got to end this podcast. We didn't even get into the fact that Nick owns Digital Syndications, which is a multifamily marketing company. Specifically, he does marketing for syndicators. So if you are a syndicator or a new syndicator looking for someone, talk with Nick, connect with Nick. His information, his LinkedIn and everything will be in the show notes. Connect with him and his company. And he does marketing specifically for syndicators looking to raise money and do all this stuff. And, yeah, I mean, it was a pleasure having him on and,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And we'll make sure that you guys, like Kevin said, have resources to connect with him and make sure that you, if you got something out of this, make sure you share this episode, right? Regardless of technical difficulty. These were good to go.
Yeah.
We're continuing to find some awesome guests and keep delivering value to the show. So appreciate you guys.
All right. We'll see y'all.
Outstanding. That was an awesome episode. Thanks so much to our special guest and thanks to you for listening. If you haven't hit the subscribe button yet, make sure you go and do that or schedule a call with us by texting ADPI to 444-999 or checking out our website at www.activedutypassiveincome.com to find out how you can get started on your financial freedom journey today. I'll see you guys next week.